Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, April 5th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. And I know I say that all the time, but that's because it's true. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, How to Be Happy When Bad Things Happen. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have many other things you could do with your time. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. Now, if you're on the phone line, all you have to do is press a 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. I know there's some of you on the phone line that just like to listen, so unless you press the 1, I won't call on you or open the lines. Over in the chat room, you can type in your questions or your comments. I'll be able to see them, and then I can read those and respond to those in the air. Let me remind you that the show is live. This is very important because anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and it's easy to tell when the signal's lost because suddenly you won't hear anything. If that happens, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, I'm Flora Brown again. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, consultant, and I'm also a mom of 4 adults now and a grandma of 3. I recently retired after 40 years, count them, 40 years, of teaching junior high through university levels. I invite you to visit my website, all of you, after the show, of course, at coloryourlifehappy.com. Now, when you go there, you'll be able to find out about a number of my programs. I want you to sign up over there for my free weekly newsletter. I also want you to go to my blog and subscribe so you get it in your email box without having to go anywhere. It'll just show up in your email. And if you're a local resident of Orange County or Los Angeles County, I want you to join us in a new group I've recently formed called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed. Now, who is this group for? Well, let's see if this sounds like you. Do you feel extremely busy and rushed all the time, or maybe you feel like your life is slipping by and your dreams are going with it, or like you never get enough time for yourself? If this is you, please know that you're not alone. A lot of us feel this. So join us live in Orange, California. That's the name of the city. And we will have an interactive meetup. We meet twice a month, the second and fourth Thursdays. Again, the group is called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. It's on Thursdays at 4. I'm sorry, it's the fourth Thursday at 6 is our next one, and that's Thursday, April 8th. Just go over to my site, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you'll see the link to sign up. Now, on this show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. And in order to get at that, I interview guests each week. And these guests come from all fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, just a wide variety of fields, all of which actually contribute to our lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Cheryl Martinson. Cheryl is an inspirepreneur. Did I say that right, Cheryl?
You bet.
And law of attraction student. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
Great, and welcome to the show. I want to tell the listeners a bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Cheryl Martinson is an inspirepreneur and law of attraction student providing resources for those who are seeking personal transformation. And I think that's all of us, especially those tuning into the show. Now, Cheryl is dedicated to help to showing people how to apply the law of attraction in their daily lives and to assist people to open up themselves to discovering the incredible power we all hold within us. She's also an advocate of positive and inspirational living. Cheryl has always been aware of her passion to provide insights to others to connect with their inner power and to live a life we desire. Since then, she's been studying and immersing herself with anything she can get her hands on the subject for the last 15 years. Cheryl is currently pursuing a career with life coaching and is also an aspiring writer on the subject. So it is my pleasure and delight to welcome Cheryl Martinson. Yay!
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm in the description of the show, I wrote that life is such an incredible journey, but along the journey, we can be faced with difficult challenges and painful events. And this is certainly true, something that we can all count on in our lives.
Exactly. It's not going to go away.
So let's get started with some of the questions that I know people have in their heads. How do some of us continue to find happiness when we are presented with these difficult challenges? And then there are other people who seem to have devastating things happen to them and are reluctant to recover. So how do we deal with these difficult challenges and find happiness in that mix?
Right. Well, it begins with our beliefs. You know, we pursue what we perceive to be true about the situation. Our belief systems that we have been forming from a very young age will determine how we view a particular situation. For example, one event will be a complete devastation to one person, whereas to another person is just a slight inconvenience. Another is our coping skills, like what skills do we have in order to deal with an unexpected problem? Do we know what needs to be done in order for us to focus on the situation at hand? Are we fighting or are we flighting? Do we know the proper techniques to remain calm in tense situations? We need to know how our body reacts to stress and explore the best ways to remedy those physical and emotional effects. And the best way to put that remedy into practice right in the moment of the problem, example, like deep breathing or meditation or prayer, all sorts of stuff like that.
When you said fight and flight, it reminded me of being back in school and learning about that, I think, in my psychology classes,
right,
that we learned that there was a time in history where that was important to us in previous millennium, I guess you would say, millennia.
Right.
So, but some of those things aren't appropriate anymore. You know, so if we were living with wild animals outside our door, we needed to be pretty alert and attentive to when is the time to flight. Yeah, flighting.
Exactly.
But some, you know, it's interesting. Some of those same old things are still operating inside of us, even though those dangers are not present. What are some of these causes and sources of our unhappiness?
I think it's a combination of a whole bunch of things. Like we have physical sources, mental and emotional, spiritual, environmental. So like with our physical, if you're not physically functioning well, your mood is more likely going to reflect how you're feeling physically. If you're not eating properly or exercising properly, then your body becomes sluggish. As a result, you know, chances are you're going to be sluggish mentally. We also need to be fueling our body with proper foods and liquids. If we're not going to be doing that, we're going to get chronic conditions. And especially with chronic conditions, I know this with my back, we need to search out our options. So don't make our chronic condition our identity. Just find ways to heal it. Don't make that, don't accept it. You know what I mean? And so we can, like, we may not cure it or completely heal it, but we can improve our situation. You know, we can do something to make it a little more bearable if it's something that we can't completely cure. But there's more than likely there's ways to improve it and make it a little bit better. And say with your mental and your emotional, your self-talk is probably one of the most largest components towards either being happy or unhappy. It's definitely going to make or break you. Your inner dialogue is more powerful than much of us even realize, because it also is deeply connected to our physical well-being. So our emotional well-being will fuel our hormonal reactions and thus create a physical sensation with our thoughts. And we're going to have a connection with that. Like if we think a certain way, we're going to feel a certain way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then with our spiritual, when I say spiritual, I'm not meaning like religious necessarily, but I'm referring to like the relationship that we have with either a divine source, or call it what you will, the relationship we have with our own spirit. This is something that I think we can have a difficult time with piecing it together, like with our happiness, but our happiness is found within ourselves. And it is so much easier to find happiness when you have a clear understanding of how perfect our spirit really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whoa. So it sounds like I was taking notes as you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like all this is tied in, because when you mentioned food, the food we take in and the liquids we take into our bodies is more than just concerned for our weight. It's concerned for our physical well-being, which then fuels our mental and emotional. And so it all ties in together. So it's not any one separate thing. We really have to be paying attention to all these different aspects.
Especially our environment. I really think you'd want to touch on like our environmental surroundings. Like our environment is so important for us to have the opportunity to allow your spirit to even thrive. Have you ever heard the saying, like, you become who and what you hang around with?
Yes.
My mom still says that. So if you're in an environment where there's constant negativity being thrown at you and disempowerment, it's going to damage even the strongest person if there's continuous exposure. It's also kind of similar to someone that's a smoker or a drinker. Say if a smoker decides, you know what, I'm going to quit this filthy habit. I'm tired of being a slave to this addiction, and I'm going to take control starting right now. And I, years ago, I was a smoker myself, I'll be honest. Uh-huh. So, like, at least I know what I'm talking about in this scenario. At this point, you know, we have the intention that we're going to quit. We're dedicated, and we're serious about it, and we're going to stop right now. Well, that's great. But if everyone you hang around with is, or even living with, smokes, is like, are they going to be as motivated as you are? Maybe, like in a perfect world, but you know, chances are they might not. So can you still do it and succeed? Well, sure. Like it's possible. After all, it is a choice. But it will be more difficult to quit this addiction successfully while being in the midst of smokers. It's, you know, you'll have more of a chance if you're away from that. It's the same as can you be happy and positive surrounded with negative people day in and day out? Possibly yes, but very difficult. Negative people love to drain the most positive people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it does happen. I mean, misery does love company, so. It's the same as being around smokers. If you're trying to quit smoking, it's going to be a little more difficult, but it is possible.
Yeah.
It's just kind of going against the stream there.
So the environment involves the people we're around and the things that they're doing. And sometimes there are situations, I can think of a situation where someone's in an environment that they're not able to immediately get out of. And I'm thinking now about the Holocaust survivor, Viktor Frankl, who wrote the book about life's meaning. And in that situation, he was not able to just walk out at will. However, that's when his spiritual and his self-talk and his whole mental attitude had to kick into high gear, because he discovered that he had to really strengthen that part of him in order to survive the other things that were going on in his external world. And so
it's people like that
in those situations. I'm sorry?
It's people like that that just make you sit there in awe. And that's exactly like it's possible, but not for, like, those people are incredible, for sure.
Yes.
Story.
And of course, they're in a situation that's not of their making. The situations you're referring to are the ones of our making. These are the ones
right.
where we have chosen to be with these people and be in
mm-hmm.
this environment. And it is a lot more difficult to make a switch because the people we're with are going to rebel if we
yeah.
are switching gears and they're still doing the same old habits. And,
exactly.
So, yeah, that's very important. I talked about toxic people in my book, and one of the things I was talking about parenting at the time, and
mm-hmm.
parents would never allow toxic fumes to infiltrate their home. You wouldn't allow
right.
your children to breathe toxic air that would kill them, and yet we let toxic people come into our lives, and to me they're equally dangerous.
Oh,
so
yes, very
it's
dangerous.
Very important for us to look at the people we hang with, and if they're not like we want to be, the kind of people we want to be, we need to switch gears. Now, what's
right.
the result of not being prepared when adversity presents itself? Because you've mentioned all these things that we could do to help ourselves, eating the right foods, getting exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because no matter what guests I've ever had in the whole year I've been on the air, it always comes back to food, eating the right food, not for weight loss, but for the care and maintenance of your body, exercise, physical
exactly.
definition that you've talked about. All of these things keep showing up because those are the things that matter. Now,
yeah, it's definitely, it sounds too simple to be true, I think. And
yes.
I think that's why a lot of people ignore it. They're like, well, it's got to be more complicated than that. But but really, it's true. And if
yes.
we're not already in a state of happiness, then if we're not already there, this meaning being prepared, being equipped with the tool of happiness, then our perception also of what is currently going on can be skewed also. So what we already believe to be happening may only be an illusion since we're viewing the situation through, I guess I call them negativity goggles, rather than
yes.
goggles
yes.
that'll allow us to view the situation with clarity. So,
mm.
you know, all this physical and emotional and spiritual and environmental is going to determine what goggles you're kind of looking through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that part of this whole not being prepared, if you aren't taking the right steps to take care of your body and monitor your self-talk and so forth, that's going to influence how you look at things. Even if things were going great, you're going to tend to not see them in the best light, is what
exactly.
you're saying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, okay. So then in that sense, then situations are neither good nor bad in a perfect way. They are based on how we perceive them.
a lot of the times, because you know, one experience for one person will be so much different for another person. It's just
mm.
because we're looking at it from a different perspective, kind of like those ink blots.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the things we can do then to become prepared? Can you give us specifics that we can do to be prepared for adversities
mm-hmm.
and so-called hard times, bad times?
One thing that I really find that's important is daily meditation. Even if you just take even 10 minutes out of your day, quiet the mind, train yourself to stop negative dialogue within you, remove that negative talk and imagery, and use this method to replace them with positive and empowering messages. So a lot of it's just train, like your thought patterns, and it's our habitual way of thinking. A lot of times I do that with a gratitude journal. So if you keep a gratitude journal on a daily basis, this is going to give you an insight daily on what you can currently, that you currently have in your life that can make you happy. So that's your, almost like your daily shot of happiness, like, wow, I'm so happy that I have this or I get to do this. And it's the perfect exercise to utilize to train your brain to recognize more of what will make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we're not looking at things that will make us happy, you know, they can come right in front of your face and you won't even see it because you're turning your head in a different direction.
Right.
So make it a priority that you do at least one thing every day that makes you feel happy. And happiness is a need, not a want. So make it as such. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, I'll do something that makes me happy after I do everything that needs to be done. That
mm-hmm.
needs to be done. Yeah.
So that needs to be done first and let some of the other stuff wait.
Yeah, and then a lot of the stuff will actually fall into place if you're in a better mood.
Wow, okay. And what about the things you mentioned about diet and exercise? What are some simple things people can do in that regard? Because one of the things I find that people do, and I'm just as guilty as everybody else, is that when we start thinking of wanting to change our diet or start exercising, we always get overwhelmed with this idea that we have to suddenly start running 10 miles. And,
yeah.
You know, we go from doing nothing to wanting to suddenly do everything. So what are some simple things we could do in that regard?
Simple things as increasing your water intake.
Okay.
It can improve so many different areas of your body, and it'll actually cleanse your body naturally. So then you'll all of a sudden start feeling a little bit better. Also, just reduce your sugars. Like if you take two sugars in your coffee, maybe just take one.
Okay.
Maybe even consider having some decaf coffee, which that one's even hard for myself. And, you know, so just watch the things that you put in. Maybe even do some stretches early in the morning right after your shower. It could actually make you feel more flexible during the day and, you know, get your blood flowing a little bit better. So just, you know, maybe increase your fruits, your vegetables. You don't have to do something extremely dramatic. Just do it in doses and then just keep building on from there.
Okay. Yeah, I've been working on increasing my fruit and vegetables, and one of the things I tell myself that I have on my list to do daily is I wrote, eat a rainbow. Every day, eat a rainbow, because they say that by mixing the colors, you know, fruit, make sure you eat the colors, then you will get a mixture of the things you need on a daily basis.
That's brilliant.
Yes, so I eat
that's,
a, I
that's
eat a
really
rainbow
cool.
Every day.
I want to eat a rainbow.
You want to eat a rainbow every day. What are some of the hidden causes? Because we know that lurking in the dark somewhere are hidden causes or triggers that hide, that create our unhappiness. Where are some of these?
See, I thought a lot about that, and I think a lot of it's unresolved issues or even forgiveness issues. So, like, forgiveness can be so difficult for some people because of their own definition of the word. Forgiveness is not necessarily for the other person. It's more so for you. So if you forgive, it is not meaning that you're telling the accused or whoever is that what has occurred is okay. It is allowing the hurt feelings that are within you and harboring within you to leave your mind and your body. So it's allowing the hurtful event or whatever it might be to come to an end and give it some closure for you and for whoever is around you that it's still affecting, because it's still affecting you. And so I think this can make your mind and body sick, actually. If you don't let it go, it can make it can give you some mental and emotional disorders, possibly, even physical disorders. It could also weaken your response for future difficulties that may present themselves, thus leaving you feel weak from the get-go. And it can also cause some, like, maybe less than desirable responses to that. Your decisions might not be as good as they could be if you're already in that state. So allow yourself to let go, become stronger, and this is so important. If you can't allow yourself to forgive even some of the worst things, but not so much for them, but for you, just to say, you know what, I'm going to let it go now. If you never let it go, the resentment can hurt you.
Sure. And this applies even to people that, in other words, some people think that when you say forgive, that you need to contact that person and verbally ask for forgiveness or let them know. But this applies to even people who you don't see or people who are deceased. We can still practice forgiveness, right?
Exactly. Yes. And, you know, I've told people that I've forgiven certain people for things that were absolutely horrible to me or to other people that have affected me. And I genuinely feel that I'm okay now, but it doesn't make what they did okay. But I have letting it go. And a lot of people said, I can't do that. I said, well, I had to for me, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely, I think it's important.
It's interesting because when you said that some of the people tell you that they just can't do it, I posted a blog about forgiveness mm-hmm. and how important it is for our own happiness. And boy, did I spark a debate because one lady in particular just absolutely could not see that that made sense because in her mind, she was equating forgiveness with saying that it was okay, just like you mentioned. I told her, you know, I responded and said, well, it's really for yourself that you're doing the forgiveness. Well, she just thought that it was going to give a message to the other person that what they did was okay. And she wanted the other person punished. And see, as long as you hold on to that, then you're going to have issues. And the other person may not even know the suffering that you're undergoing on their behalf.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, they're not still doing it to you. You're still doing it to you.
That's right.
But you're losing it.
If you ask people what's troubling them and they start telling you about something and it sounds like it's in the present, and then you say, well, when did this happen? Oh, 15 years ago. And you realize, oh, my goodness, or even further back, this person's been dragging this incident all this time, and they're the ones who are being affected and hurt in ways they don't even realize.
Oh, so, I know.
Yeah. So any other things in that?
Yeah, I was actually going to mention, believe it or not, I think our hormones are sometimes triggers because at one point I heard, I don't know if you've ever heard of Ellie Drake, she was mentioning this, and it was so brilliant. She said that we can become addicted to our hormones.
Mm.
So, say for chronic negative or even positive thinkers, there's a hormonal response any which way you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're chronically thinking and feeling negatively, your body will adjust to that specific release of hormones, and you will learn to expect it, and since it's become so normal, and so when you continue to think that way, our body will be fed that hormone and say, ah, there it is. And then we just, our body doesn't know it's a negative or positive response.
That's scary.
It is. I don't know if that was Ellie Drake or if that was Barbara DeAngelis, but one of the two ladies, they said it, and I just thought, wow, that really makes sense, actually.
Yes. And that gets at that whole idea about what's normal. When you think about people feeling uncomfortable, I've seen people that seem to feel uncomfortable in positive and nurturing environments because they are so addicted to negative environments or toxic environments. So that sounds like it's true. It's related exactly to what you just said.
Say if there is a woman who, I actually do know a woman who I swear to God is addicted to abusive relationships because that's all she knows. Like she feels weird with a man that is, you know, very caring and affectionate. She just like, ugh, get away from me. And she's naturally repelled from someone that's trying to treat her well. And then she doesn't understand why, like she just stays there. And that's where I think a lot of times we become confused is why do they keep going back? Is because they have some release of a hormone sometimes, which maybe this is not necessarily the case, but there is a physical reaction of some kind.
Yeah. And
it doesn't get a lot deeper than that.
And it gets deeper, and not just physical, but also it just in other ways it feels right. They're comfortable with that kind of situation because it's what's familiar. Even though it's negative and it's hurtful and they want to get out of it, but it's also feels like home.
Yeah, that's where it becomes frustrating from some outsiders. They just don't get it.
Right.
And then they start questioning themselves, and it's kind of
that's
crazy.
Why you need outside help, too, because so many, that's where coaching and so many things come in, because it's difficult for us to see our own situation. One of my guest speakers said it's difficult for you to see the big picture when you're standing in the frame. And you need someone outside of the frame to see and to be able to help you when you're ready to be helped. Which
that
gets
makes
me
a
to,
lot of sense.
Yeah, how can people reach you? Because I know you have some programs coming up. So tell us how they will be able to reach you after the show.
Yeah, they can reach me at CherylMartinson.net. And you can reach me by email. You can get me on Facebook there. You'd have to get to my fan page because my normal Facebook is at its max. But you could also get me at Twitter. And I'm not on Twitter as much as I am on Facebook. Facebook is almost my weakness now.
Well, that's great. So CherylMartinson.net is where people can go there and take a look at your site. And I took a look over there, and I saw that you have a number of resources that people can go to and get additional help from various other leaders in the field as well. So that's also good.
Yeah, I really like to promote Hay House Books because Hay House has got one of the best line of really good products and services. They're the best leaders out there, and I definitely love to promote Hay House.
Right. Yeah, I want to point out to the listeners who don't know, Louise Hay is the person who started Hay House and has a beautiful philosophy of life and has done a number of books, especially about the connection between health and healing and your mind. So Hay House is a great place to go. I'm sorry?
She's incredible.
Yes, she's been interviewed a number of times, and she does not look her age at all, and she just maintains such a positive glow.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to ask you about things that we can do when adversity is already in action to ensure a more desirable outcome. If we haven't already done all these things you suggested, you know, so adversity is taking place right now. What can we do to?
I think we should really monitor our attitude in the moment. So we need to remain in an attitude that we're going to face this situation head on with a good attitude, no matter how hard it is. We got to think we're going to get through this, no matter what. The attitude is that failure is not an option. So because if you sit there and you're thinking, oh, this is now everything's ruined, and you sit there and start crying, you're not going to get anywhere. Just have that attitude, remain calm, stay relaxed, stay focused, focus on our breathing, because if our breathing becomes erratic, then the tendency will be that our thinking will become erratic also.
Okay, yeah, I want to point out, too, to listeners that the things you're sharing here apply to all of us, and that these are things that you and I and all of the other coaches and so-called experts and gurus have to do as well. It's not like we have found the key and we don't have to keep working at it. It's like your body. You have to keep eating every day. You can't eat enough in one day to cover the next 10 years. So you have to keep feeding your body, your mind, your spirit, every day, and we have to do the same things, you and I. And so,
Cheryl Richardson says the same thing. Cheryl Richardson she's the author of Extreme Self-Care, and she said that a lot of times she has to continue to keep herself in check. She has everything that she's ever written books is tried, tested, and true by herself and other colleagues. So she walks her talk, for sure.
Well, one thing about it, when you write a book or do the blogs like I do, sometimes I have to read my own book. You know, I have to pull myself back and I go, okay, I think I need to read this chapter again.
Exactly.
Because we need to be reminded. We have to keep feeding our minds because things keep happening in the real world.
They do.
We can easily get sucked into them. What are some activities and conditions that we can pursue when we're presented with challenges and difficult situations? You just mentioned facing situations head on and deciding that failure is not an option. We don't want to fall down and start crying. You remember, I don't know if you saw the movie A League of Their Own, where
Tom Hanks
said there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I
love
to remind myself there's no crying in this situation, because there are times when I get so frustrated trying to learn something new. I'm constantly trying to learn something new on the internet. And,
me too.
And I hit that frustration and I want to fall down on the floor and cry, but then I have to remind myself that's not going to get me at my goal. And I think about that line, there's no crying in baseball, there's no crying in learning this program. What are some other activities and conditions we can pursue when we're faced with these challenges and difficult situations?
Well, I think that we need to constantly exercise, and not just for our health, like, you know, not for our physical health, but it's a great way to expel any pent-up anger that you got or any frustration. And it's also going to release endorphins, which actually make you feel really, really good. That's almost an obvious, but some people actually need to hear it again. A lot of times I find the activity of reading and just sitting down with a great book, with positive stuff in it, obviously, will allow you to relax. It gets your body just to slow down. It gets your mind to slow down. It gets your breathing to slow down. And it's a good way just to stop, you know, because, you know, if I don't know if where you're living in California and I'm living in Canada, but I'm telling you, everywhere, everyone is in a rush to go somewhere. Just sitting down and reading is almost something that a lot of people don't do. We have audiobooks, so we can do it on the go. You know, just I like to sit down and read. And,
with a real book.
Eating, I know. Not even a Kindle or whatever they got going on. But also eating right. If we're continuously eating right, and sometimes I need to, you know, remind myself of this because we're on the go, so we're always going to McDonald's or, you know, the drive-through coffee place, which I'm a frequent visitor. I guess this is really bad for me to be saying, but a lot of times we have to realize that we need to continuously fuel our body with good things, because if we're already in a state of feeling good physically, we're going to be able to react better. And also, again, surround yourself with positive people, and it'll make your situation a lot easier, because when adversity does strike, you're already surrounded by people that are going to help you, you know, hold you up instead of letting you fall, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And another thing about the positive people you're talking about, if they are truly positive people and they're supportive, they're going to keep you accountable and reminded of the good. I mean, so we can easily slip back, but if we have positive people, they're going to say motivating, inspirational, uplifting things and remind us of our own power and keep us going forward. And that's extremely important, because we are all subject to slip back to negative. I don't know why negative thinking is so easy to slip into, but I think part of it is our culture really does give more attention to negativity. You know, if you think about the news.
I don't watch the news.
The news loves negative press, and you can see the excitement in the newscasters when they have a disaster to report, and they're reporting all these horrible things that are going on, but they're so excited because they know that that's going to attract viewers, and that's going to, of course, increase their advertising.
That's so silly that we do that. I do not read the newspaper. I do not watch the news. If there is something really, really big happening and I need to know about it, someone's going to tell me. You know, if there is something going to happen big and I need to know now, word of mouth is quite popular also. So I remember I was pregnant with my son, and sitting there crying for probably 3 days from something I heard on the news. And after that day, I said, I am never watching the news again. And I haven't watched the news in about 2 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was too horrible to even describe. I can't. And the descriptions on the news, we need to, you know, reduce our exposure to those kind of details.
Unfortunately, we as a public are to blame for them continuing to show it, because if they didn't have the coverage, they would switch gears to what does get coverage. But those things get so much coverage that I know one thing, for example, that's popular in California anyway, used to be high-speed chases when the police start chasing somebody down the freeway. And
oh,
boy, everybody would call people, and they're all on the television watching this high-speed chase, which is a real-life drama, not a televised one. And it just got to the point where you wonder what's fueling what. You know, is this person pumped up with adrenaline because he knows he's on television because the helicopters have the spotlight on him? And, and the people on the road are clearing the road to get away because they can hear what's going on. And you wonder what's fueling what.
Exactly.
And many times the reason the police started out after them aren't, you know, may not even be that big of a deal, but it comes that big of a deal. So unfortunately,
it snowballs.
And as people, if we continue to watch this, then that's where it builds up. And so we really have to work at doing what you do and not dwell on the news. One thing that always amazes me are things like the weather. And my theory is, I'll know it's raining when I walk out there and I get wet. I know I can see it's raining. I need to go back in and get an umbrella. To watch
or go to the Weather Channel.
Or the Weather Channels, they're only guessing about what's going to happen when. So it's unfortunate that we seem to give a lot of press. But about being positive is what this show is about. Are there any other things that you suggest that we can do? Now, you mentioned dealing with our unresolved issues by forgiving ourselves, forgiving others and ourselves, avoiding this addiction hormone that might result if we get comfortable with this negativity, exercise, releasing those endorphins. Anything else that you want to mention?
Be consistent. Because you can't do it for a week and expect it to all change. Or even a month.
Darn. Oh, yeah. No, I was just
sorry to tell you. Exactly. No, I think a lot of it's just, you know, being consistent and being disciplined, because you know, the only ones that could change it are ourselves, and no one's going to come and fix it for you, unfortunately. It's not like calling a plumber.
Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing these, and it sounds like if we can do some of these things you've mentioned in small doses instead of trying to make a huge overhaul, that we're going to be far more successful. Just small changes in our diet, small changes and additions to exercise, 10 minutes a day daily meditation, writing in our gratitude journal, which focuses on the things we already have to be grateful for rather than looking ahead to think about what we don't have. Doing at least one thing that makes us happy each day, whatever that one little thing is. And sometimes it's not a big thing, just something little. And then
know what? It's the formation of the habit.
Yes.
It's definitely the formation of the habit. It's not so much the huge result. It's being able to change your habit slowly. And it's the habit itself. It's not the big result. Yeah, so if you can master that, you can master anything.
Wow. Well, we have about 1 minute left on the show, and I want to thank you so much for spending time sharing these ideas with the listeners. And I want to remind listeners to go over to your website, CherylMartinson.net, and take a look at what you have to offer there. Thank you so much for these tips. I want to invite everybody back next week to my show Monday, April 12th at 11 a.m., and also those of you who are local, I want to encourage you to join us on Thursday night, April 8th. Go over to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you'll find out about that local meetup. I am your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Thank you again, Cheryl.
And thank you so much, Flora.
You're most welcome. I want to encourage everybody to have a blessed week. And you know I'm going to remind you to do one thing that I always tell you to do.